NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
Good afternoon to some of you. Good morning to others. Good day to you all. Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for free rate quotes. You're going to need it because we're about to knock down the building, y'all. Happy Christmas Eve weekend to everyone. Hope everybody is wearing their masks, staying safe, staying healthy. Welcome to Up On Game. You're listening to one of the greatest sports talk radio shows that you'll ever hear. So make sure you spread the word. Tell a friend, tell another friend, tell them friends to tell a friend. I'm LeVar Arrington. I got my boys with me. I got TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress. We got some great guests today and some amazing topics. This will probably be our best show today, TJ Plex. I'm super excited.
It's going to be interesting because if you have children, and whether it's boy or girl, the topic that we're going to discuss will resonate with everyone, and it's a topic that will actually make you sit back and think and contemplate, is this something you're willing to do, or is just a no-go, it's a non-starter?
Plex.
Oh, man, I'm excited for the show today. We got some great topics, and we're going to be out there, you know, we're going to drop some jewels today. So if you're tuned in, you might want to buckle up a little bit because it's about to get real juicy.
Juicy fruit. Call in number 877-996-6369. That's 877-996-6369. We want to hear from you. We're going to open up the call lines. We got some great topics, as mentioned. We're bringing on some great guests. Antonio Pierce will be on, assistant defensive coordinator for Arizona State, the Sun Devils. There are a lot of things going out there, swirling around in the football community and world. He could end up back at his alma mater of the Wildcats of Arizona.
If they smart.
Yeah, it could be interesting. We're also going to bring on the one of the original funniest funny dudes ever, Earthquake. That's right. We're going to talk some sports. Y'all may not know this about funny dudes, but they know sports.
They love sports.
they know real well. It's fun to talk to them. But, all right, let's jump right into this. I don't want to waste any time. I want to get to this so that when we bring Coach Antonio Pierce on, we can kind of expand on this. Deion Sanders, he made news this week. It was National Letter of Intent signing day. The early version of it, there's two of them that take place. There will be another one that takes place later on. But right now, there's a lot of early signings, COVID taking place. Of course, a lot of guys have signed with their teams knowing that there are some uncertainties that exist. But making news, none bigger. He's still continuing to be prime time, even as a coach. Deion Sanders makes history and makes news. Reading, here's a quote, or not a quote, but here's from a news article that was published. Deion Sanders promised to change the paradigm of how well a SWAC program can recruit when he was hired at Jackson State. So far, promise has been kept. Jackson State's class, listen to this, y'all, is the highest rated in the football championship subdivision, according to 24/7 Sports composite ratings. The Tigers class at 9 recruits as of this writing stands at 81.64 points, beating out Northern Arizona's score of 80.92. Jackson State's next closest competition, NAU school, Harvard, Princeton, and Yale. All signed classes ranging between 14 and 18 players. The Tigers hauled in three 3-star recruits. and 2 4-star recruits, which stands as the first 4-star signees on record to sign with an FCS school. This is amazing. This is groundbreaking. This has been a large topic of conversation, and it opens up the floor to conversation. We'll start with you, TJ. College football recruiting wars. We talk about them. We understand them. We know all about them. Oh, before we do this, like, I digress. Shots out to Gavin. Shots out to Iowa Sam. Shots out to David Gascon. You can't win without having your team. I had to recruit them for this show and had to get the best. So make sure I shouted y'all out before we got going into the show. My apologies on that. I never want to forget my dudes, right? We're all dudes here. All right, now, okay. We took a bow. The moment of truth. Can HBCUs, can SWAC schools, can non-Power 5 schools, can they win in the recruiting war?
I'm going to be just blunt. No, they can't. And you talk about Jackson State's 2 4-star recruits. One of them is Deion Sun. The other one is a defense. Now, if you're a DB and you want to get to the league, if you have that type of talent, going to an HBCU that is coached by Prime is a positive, because he's going to give you that confidence. He's going to teach you how to play the position. He's going to teach you how to break down route coverages and recognitions and combinations. So you're going to leave that school a much smarter player than you came in if you have the athleticism to go along with it. But to answer your question, it's impossible for them to compete with a Power 5 school strictly off of money. Mm-hmm. They don't have the financial backing that a Power 5 school has. They don't have the ability. Some Power 5 schools don't have. They can't even travel across the country consistently to recruit a kid.
And don't these, have the
budget. These are schools in Power. There are schools in the Pac-12 that can't consistently go to Tennessee to recruit a stud offensive lineman. They don't have the budget to continue to fly there. So there's no way that an HBCU will have that type of budget. Now, they're hoping that Deion Sanders, the name, entices kids. And if you're a defensive player, specifically a DB or a safety, it might behoove you to really look into it thoroughly, because I believe he can really be a benefit to you. But outside of that, I just don't see it happening at all.
Stretch.
Man, Navarre, to answer your question, a war, there's never been a war with recruiting between Power 5 schools and HBCU. I mean, history shows us that. My mom told me a long time ago, she told me this when I was making my decision to go to college. She said, it doesn't matter where you go, because if you're good enough, they'll find you. But today's kids, it's all about the eye test. It's all about what they see, what they can identify with. And it's easy for a top 100 recruit to identify with the USC, University of Texas, and Alabama, a Notre Dame, because that's what they see every weekend. So they can identify with these power schools, and they like what they see. But they don't see the Texas Southerns, the Alcorn States, the Jackson States, the Savannah States on a weekly basis. They don't see them. So to the kids today, it's all about exposure. If you want to get to the NFL, your best chance to get to the NFL is to go to a Power 5 school. But what Deion Sanders, he took the opportunity to step outside a box that we haven't seen before. And it's monumental and it's game-changing. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to name some of the greatest football players that we have ever seen to put on a pair of cleats, to put on a helmet.
You're right.
And they're from HBCUs, but they were so great in their professional careers that you didn't even know that they went to an HBCU.
The greatest of all time, in my opinion.
One of my favorites, Charlie Joyner, Grambling State.
Oh, okay.
one of the greatest left tackles to ever play, Jackie Slater, Jackson State. One of the best tight ends to ever play, Shannon Sharp, Savannah State. Michael Strahan, Texas Southern. Steve McNair, Alcorn State. Mm-hmm. Willie DeNeal, Morgan State. Mel Blount, Southern.
Come on. So now I can argue with you. All those names you just named were long ago. You don't see that anymore.
But what I'm trying, the point I'm getting to is that you can't tell me that great players don't come out of HBCUs because we have seen that. But what Deion Sanders is doing, he's going into these kids' homes, sitting on the couch, sitting down with their parents and looking them in the face and telling them, look, it's okay for you to go to a HBCU if you want to get to the NFL, if that's what you aspire to be. Mm-hmm. You won't be looked down upon as a second-tier level athlete because you go to a HBCU. You can still live out your dreams of getting to the next level and come to Jackson State. And this is something that we have never seen before, and I salute Deion to the fullest because it's going to be a game changer for these Division I schools. Like TJ said, it comes back to money, and what this does, it takes money out of their pockets, and they don't like that.
You know, I find something interesting is we got a soundbite from Coach Nick Saban. I just wonder how much exposure in terms of being able to start right away, being able to sell, I can get you to the next level, will play a part in maybe leveling a playing field that we don't really have an idea of how far apart a school like Jackson State is from an Alabama. Here's Coach Saban.
It's the expectation that gets created by social media. And, you know, look, 20 years ago, we didn't have all these recruiting ratings. But all these things create an expectation. They do have an impact and affect some guys. They think they're failing if they don't meet these, I'm going to call them almost false expectations. So it takes away from this whole process of thinking about what I have to do to develop and get results and become very outcome-oriented and disappointed if I don't get the outcome that people expect.
Let me get you the translation on that, fellas. You go to Alabama. There is a strong possibility as a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star, whatever star you bring into that school, you will have to transfer by sophomore year, no later than your junior year. You may do it as a graduate student. The transfer portal has made it very easy to start over. So when you're going to one of these Power Five schools, I just wonder, are we looking at a situation where if I can go to a school like Jackson State and I can use social media to brand myself and get the exposure that I want to get and get the film that I want to get, can I get to the next level the same exact way if I would have had the opportunity to play at one of these major Power Five schools that for one reason or another, most awesome athletes coming out of high school, A, want to start. That is not a new phenomenon. When we were in school, what's the first thing? The first things I thought about before I chose my schools, and this might sound petty, but put y'all up on game. One, I wanted to know what their uniform looked like. I know it's crazy, but I wanted to know what the uniform looked like.
They sponsored by what cleats you got to wear.
It didn't look good. I mean, the Penn State uniform looked like it's
normal,
Old Navy.
But I love it. I loved it. I loved it, like
that tradition of it. That all white is clean.
I liked it.
Oh,
right?
Come on, TJ.
I ain't going to lie. I like that all. White and all black. I like that.
I ain't really riding with Michigan State's uniforms. I mean, that green is like kind of like, anyway. I like Miami, the Hurricanes, and I like Florida State's uniforms the best, so they were the highest on my list to start with. But then I took a look at, am I going to play? So now I start looking at the roster immediately, like who's the seniors, who's the starters, who did they recruit, who came in. I wanted to know, am I going to have an opportunity to play immediately? How much of a difference, and we'll get to Coach Antonio Pierce, we're going to take a break, but this is an amazing discussion to have, because how much does it really play a part now, right now, in recruiting wars, where Deion can come to you and say, come to Jackson State, start for me day one, build a tradition here, let's get you to the National Football League when another coach from Arizona State or from Alabama or from Penn State.
What if that kid isn't good enough to start from day one and you've told him you're starting from day one and you realize when he gets on campus, he's not what you thought he was?
Well, then you're okay with letting him go, right? I mean, most coaches are.
I've seen that happen countless times in college.
So what happens when you take a recruiting trip to Jackson State and you see the facilities and then you go to LSU and you see their facilities? What happens then?
I mean, is it bigger than playing?
You talked
is the
about
facilities. Is the 100,000-plus players or are people there to watch you play? Does that outweigh
matters.
The opportunity?
That matters. The only way this playing field, in my opinion, can be leveled is you start to see these teams consistently on TV. If they're not consistently on TV, they don't have a chance to compete, in my opinion.
It is exactly the point that I was making. It's all about what the kids can identify. They can identify with these Power 5 schools because
they see them
they
all
can
the time.
Sit down in front of their television and turn it on every Saturday and say, I want to go to Clemson.
Their classmates from high school get to watch them play.
Absolutely.
Social media era. They're going to tag them on a story when they make a play. You won't see that on the HBCU until they can get the TV contracts that the Power 5 have. Right. It's not going to change.
And I can only imagine that a kid going to a historical black college, that is not his first choice.
Hmm.
They either aren't recruited enough to go to a Power 5 school or they don't have the academics to go to a Division I school. So I don't believe that kids going to the HBCU, that is their first choice.
It's going to be a great topic. We got a recruiting guru that's about to join us after this break. You won't want to miss that.
AP.
Co-defensive coordinator at Arizona State, Super
What's
Bowl
up,
champ. Antonio Pierce will be joining us on the other side of this break. You are listening to Up On Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Mr. Plexico Burris. Welcome back to Up On Game. LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burris. Conversation is college football recruiting. Can you win? Can you win? If you're an HBCU, if you're in the SWAC, if you're a non-Power 5, is the gap closing? Did Deion Sanders single-handedly change what's taking place in the recruiting wars? We have one of the best gurus in terms of coaching that will be coming on, trying to get a hold of him, making sure we open up the call lines. The call lines for you, our caller, will be, obviously, will you allow for your child to choose a non-Power 5 school if they have a Power 5 school available? We're going to go to AP right now. Antonio Pierce, co-defensive coordinator at Arizona State, recruiting guru, head of recruiting. Head of recruiting, Coach Antonio, Coach Pierce?
What you got? Recruiting coordinator. I'll just say recruiting coordinator. That's
recruiting
fine.
Coordinator. All right. You got
What's up, Cap?
You got so many titles.
This is like bringing a band back.
Yeah, it is. I don't know how
it's a
it
long,
happened,
short story.
But we made sure. You can find Antonio Pierce on Twitter at Antonio Pierce, capital A and a capital P. You can also do the same thing on IG. He's always there. He's available, especially if you have a really good football player in your
best
household.
Recruiter in the country, right?
Man,
you done turn Arizona State around, man. You know that. Don't be humble. Just say what it is.
Say what it is, man.
Man, look, I'm trying to find the Hushmanzada, Arrington, Burns. If you guys got any kids, man, I'll offer them. As long as they can put pads on, I'm good.
Hey, man, just because your hair bald and shiny, man, don't make you intelligent.
You know, he done grown his hair back. He got like a little mini afro. Yeah,
no.
It looked like a helmet. You know what I mean?
Oh, he got that Deion Sanders going on.
He got the hairline that go back on the side, so it looked like he wearing one of them speed racer helmets. You know what I mean?
I just want to prove a point during the COVID year that anything can happen.
AP. AP, let's jump into the business of what we got going on here. Deion Sanders has made history, while someone like yourself is making history for how you're recruiting and bringing so much attention and excitement to the Sun Devils in Arizona. What is the challenges that you find yourself having, and can a Deion Sanders actually turn the recruiting wars game towards HBCUs over schools like, say, Arizona State?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what. I mean, the way recruiting works, the way kids have access to everything on their fingertips with their phone, through social media, through YouTube, through Google, any search engine that they can use, you can become relevant real quick. You don't have to do a lot. You know, you can make one-handed catches and do all that stuff, and people will find you. And I think that goes for recruiting and colleges as well. If you got a program like Jackson State and you have probably the best defensive back cornerback of all time coaching you, telling you that he can get you right, that he can call X, Y, and Z executives and GMs, why wouldn't you not take that challenge? Why would you not take him upon his words? I mean, everything he's ever done and said he was going to do as a player on and off the field, he's done. How can you not listen to that? So I think he is a threat, you know, to the Power Five. I mean, you saw him flip a kid from Georgia. When does that ever happen? You know, he's making it cool to go to black colleges. He's making it cool to be a high-profile athlete and to say, I've been offered by Jackson State. I don't think you can ask for anything more.
So the kid he flipped from Georgia is a DB. If you play in a secondary, it makes a ton of sense. If you play any other position, and this is just my opinion, why would you go? If I take a recruiting trip to Arizona State and I take a recruiting trip to Jackson State, it's going to be completely different. You're going to have fun in both places, but the facilities and the things you see are going to be completely different. And you know and I know that sways kids. And so, yeah, if you're a defensive back, taking a kid from Georgia and you're Jackson State is unheard of, but he's a DB. And you can personally learn from Deion. So I don't see him being able to compete with an Arizona State because you guys can offer so much more than what a Jackson State can offer.
Well, TJ, I think you know this because we were in junior college at the same time. You know, TJ was at Cerritos College. I was at Mount Sac. And all you ever wanted was opportunity.
That's it.
You wanted somebody that believed in you, that gave you hope, that looked into your eyes, and you felt at the end of the day they had – your best interest. And that's why you made the decision to go to Oregon State, and I did the same thing at U of A. And I think that's what Deion is trying to build at Jackson State. Now, he's going to have buzz about it because he's a buzz-worthy type of guy and coach. And I think he knows ball. So to answer your question, no, yeah, the DBs are no-brainers, but he's the head coach. So he can go to a quarterback, let's say, and say, look, I'm gonna surround you with big-name talent wide receivers. I'm going to bring in some guys where you can showcase yourself. But guess what? Anything and everything we do is newsworthy. It's newsworthy. You're not going to have to sit on a bench. And guess what? At the end of the day, the golden ticket ain't in college.
No.
The golden ticket and the meal ticket is in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you got to sacrifice a little something now, and that's coming to Jackson State to get to where you want to go down the road. And I can help you get there. That's how he's selling it. Those are probably his exact words with a little bit more swag.
Right. Hey, AP, I want you to talk to the parents right quick. And the kids. I mean, we all know that these kids are getting recruited by Power Five schools, but let the parents know and the kids know, you know, outside of their physical ability, what makes you go into a young man's house and look his parents in the face and tell them to come to Arizona State? What makes you say to yourself and the coaching staff when you go back to Arizona State to say, that's our guy, we need him?
Right. Yeah, I think it's easy. I think you got to be genuine. This is what I do, and I'm not scared to share it. You know, I tell them, I don't need you to make money. I don't need you to go to the NFL. I don't need you to know what it's like to be there, but I sure want to help you. I want to be the guy that wasn't the guy for me, that didn't tell me A, B, and C is about to happen, so don't do that. Or go ahead and do A, B, and C, and D is going to happen. Give me all the knowledge. Show me the yellow brick road and the path to be successful both on the field and off the field. And in the meantime, do you have any connection? What do you want to do? You want to get in the media? Well, guess what? I did that for 8 years. I think I know a couple of people still at ESPN. You know what? You want to talk to some guys in real estate or any other business that I might have ventured into? I can do that. But not even me. Look who I got surrounded around me. Got Herman Edwards. 30 years in the National Football League, 9 years as a 8 years as an NFL head coach, Marvin Lewis, co-defensive coordinator, 30 years in the league, coached one of the best defenses of all time, the Baltimore Ravens in 2000. The amount of resources, at the end of the day, this is what I always tell people. When you turn to your resume, is it at the bottom of the pile or is it the top?
Right.
AP, one
last. And I want to be at the top.
One last question before we let you go. You had a unique situation where Dre, your son, transferred over and came to ASU to be with you. We just saw Prime's son go do the same thing, left South Carolina to go there. If you were faced with the question of Dre having Power Five schools, say it's one Power Five school offering him a scholarship, and Jackson State and a couple other SWAC schools offering him, are you okay with him choosing Jackson State, choosing an HBCU over that Power Five school?
Well, I definitely think it depends on who the coach is. I'll be honest, if I was in that situation and you're asking me about my son and it's Deion, I will feel comfortable. I'll feel comfortable because I know he's doing it for the goodwill. I know he's doing it for the kids. I know he's not using that to go to the NFL and try to become a head coach at the Atlanta Falcons. I know he's not doing it. He's not getting paid top dollar. He's putting in blood, sweat, and tears and probably some of his own resources back into that program. So I know he's truly invested in Jackson State, and I'm sure he'll be invested into my son because he's not going to have that opportunity for long. He's going to have about an 18 to 24-month window to prove to everybody that he can do what he's saying he's going to do, that he's going to make them relevant, that he's going to get guys into the league. He's going to recruit at a high level. If it doesn't happen after year one, and definitely after year two, it's going to be a failure. And he's going to be like the majority of athletes, especially former athletes, who we get pigeonholed as not being, you know, a good coach, you know, just living off of our morals of being a good player. But if he can follow through with everything that he set forward in that press conference, the sky's the limit for Jackson State. You've already seen it in the basketball world in NCAA with some five-star and big-time recruits going to HBCs. You know, I think that's huge. When we were growing up, Grambling Southern, I got up in the morning to watch the band play and watch the guys play football.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since that's happening.
Right.
You know, when Deion came in with the band and the girls thing swirling, I'm like, come on. Let me see that on Saturday. I missed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. We know you got to go jump in one of them staff meetings.
Well, yeah, AP, if your alma mater is smart, next time I talk to you, you're going to be head coach Antonio
Uh-oh.
Pierce. If they knew better, they would do better.
Uh-oh.
Hey, man, Uh-oh. Get the band back together again.
All right, we appreciate you making some time for us. That is Antonio Pierce, co-defensive coordinator, recruiting guru himself at Arizona State, Super Bowl champ. You can find him on Antonio Pierce on Twitter and Antonio Pierce on IG. Appreciate you coming
on.
Let's get an update. We got an upset brewing in the Big Ten championship game.
It ain't
going
to happen.
David Gascon, put us up on game, player.
Man, we shall see. Ohio State has the football, but they're down right now.
First and goal for the Cats at the 9. They'll empty the backfield. Direct snap to Cam Porter. And Porter to the 5. Breaks the tackle. Reaches the end zone. Touchdown! Cam Porter, a 9-yard touchdown run. And in electric fashion, the Wildcats have driven 75 yards to take the lead on the Ohio State Buckeyes 6-3.
That's the only touchdown of the ball game so far. Northwestern leads number 4 Ohio State 10-6, about 2 minutes to play in the first half. Buckeyes do have the football at their 37-yard line. Texas A&M 24-13 over Tennessee. Oklahoma and Iowa State, this thing so far, all Sooners.
Rattler deep drop, looking deep, takes a shot for Mims behind the defense. Got him! Touchdown! Pay dirt! Marvelous! 45-yard strike from Rattler to Mims.
And Oklahoma has the lead right now. They also have the Rock. They're driving at the 24-yard line of the Cyclones, 17-7. There's under 60 seconds to play in the first half in that one. Guys, in the NFL, a couple guys will be out tomorrow. In fact, the New England Patriots have downgraded Damian Harris. He won't play against Miami. Julian Edelman is also out. And the Giants are going to be rolling without Daniel Jones. Colt McCoy is going to get the start against the Cleveland Browns. Jones dealing with a bad ankle and some hamstring issues.
Very interesting. We appreciate that update. Big David G. Gascon. All right. We got some callers. Let's jump into these calls. But before we jump into the calls, the question is, if your child has the opportunity to go to a Power Five, but also has a scholarship offer from an HBCU, which is a historically black college, let me know, do you allow this to take place? And by the way, if you didn't know, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance. You know why? Because it's with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part? Figuring out which way is easier. Hey, we got some sound from Antonio Pierce. Coach Pierce, take a listen to this, and then we're jumping into your calls right now.
I tell him, I don't need you to make money. I don't need you to go to the NFL. I don't need you to know what it's like to be there, but I sure want to help you. I want to be the guy that wasn't the guy for me, that didn't tell me A, B, and C is about to happen, so don't do that. Give me all the knowledge. Show me the yellow brick road and the path to be successful both on the field and off the field. And in the meantime, do you have any connection? What do you want to do? You want to get in the media? Well, guess what? I did that for 8 years. But not even me. Look who I got surrounded around me. Got Herman Edwards. 30 years in the National Football League, 9 years as an NFL head coach, Marvin Lewis, co-defensive coordinator, 30 years in the league, coached one of the best defenses of all time, the Baltimore Ravens in 2000. At the end of the day, this is what I always tell people. When you turn to your resume, is it at the bottom of the pile or is it the top?
Don in Tucson, Arizona. When you have a coach coming at you like that, that's in a Power 5 school, a top school, D1 school, but you have a Deion Sanders at an HBCU, a SWAC school, are you allowing your child to go? Like, is he allowed to make his decision? What's your thought process on it?
LeVar, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm living in Tucson now, but I'm from Pennsylvania.
Word.
I saw you play high school running back. You were awesome. And
appreciate it.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Running back.
Yeah.
I called in before you asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say what I wanted to say, if that's all right with you.
Come on, we got to hit you back on this, man. We got to stay on topic. If you got something for me, hit me up. If you don't, we got to move.
All right.
What you got?
Just the way for the HBCUs to compete is to get out the NCAA and get a big TV contract and pay the kids.
Hmm. Okay, we appreciate the call. Yeah, we appreciate the call. Larry in Indiana, what you got?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's happening?
It's all happening.
Yeah, it is.
HBCU is the way to go. You know why? You can be the man. You can bring that program up to speed. You can be a star.
Simple as that.
I would rather go that route than get lost in a Power 5 school.
But okay.
Take a chance on that.
So you're
a 3- and 4-star recruit could get lost there. They're going to be the man at an HBCU school like Jackson State.
Yep.
Going to bring them around. Going to make them get on the map.
Well, I appreciate
it. That's just how I feel about that.
Sounds good. I mean, short and simple, fellas. Albert Riverside, talk to me, man. What say you?
What's up, OGs?
What it do?
Hey, if my son wants to go to Jackson State, I'm cool with that because Deion Sanders. Who else do you want to learn from like that?
Yeah.
That guy will do anything to make you a better player, you know?
But what if he doesn't play corner?
Even that, you don't have to be, in a big school to go to the NFL, like Shannon Sharp and other big players back in the day. Like, you can play in a HBCU and still make it. So I know for
sure.
Okay,
so what if
he
doesn't want to go to Jackson State? If it's another HBCU?
Well, you can like the other caller said, you can still make it you'll be a big star because there's not a lot of big recruits there, and the eyes will be on you at all times if you're a good player.
Appreciate the call, Albert. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Corey, Charlotte, talk to me, man. What we got?
Hey, guys. First off, I want to congratulate the three of you on a great start to your new show. It's been just a wonderful listening experience for those of us out here.
Appreciate it, man.
To sports radio on the reg, you know, we only get to hear from players during the week during a couple-minute interview segment. So I think it's great that we got you guys here for an entire show, bringing a bunch of great insights. So I want to thank you guys for that first and foremost. And talking about facilities, recruiting, and the desire to go to the NFL, you look at players like Sidney Rice, Stephon Gilmore, Alshon Jeffrey, Melvin Ingram. You guys know where they went to college?
South Carolina.
Okay.
and Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. When all those guys came to South Carolina, South Carolina had some of the worst facilities in the SEC. So those guys didn't come to South Carolina because of facilities. They came to South Carolina because of good recruiting, because of good position coaches who had great relationships with them. If you look at what South Carolina did from 2010 to 2014, when they had the worst facilities about in the SEC, they went 49-17. Okay. Mm-hmm. After Steve Spurrier retired, Will Muschamp comes in. They build a brand new indoor football facility. They build a brand new state-of-the-art outdoor practice facility, brand new administration building, weight room.
So you think that
room.
Can happen at an HBCU just like at a major Division One? Yay, nay.
Well,
you got to
no.
get up out.
Well, what I'm going to tell you is with all those new facilities, they went 28-33. So it's not about facilities.
Oh,
it's about great coaches.
Right.
I like it. Hold on. Go ahead. Make it quick. We got to go.
Hey, Woody Johnson told me the owner from the New York Jets say it doesn't matter how good the building looks. It matters about the people inside the building.
That's very true.
That's what matters.
You're listening to Up On Game. That was Plexico Burris that just hit you with some knowledge. We got TJ Hushmanzada. I'm LeVar Arrington. On the other side of the break, we have a mommy-daughter drama, a straight-up beef of epic proportion. Unbelievable almost, and we're going to talk about it right here and get a little bit of perspective on it. And, oh, yeah, we're going to put you up on game. That's what you're listening to. We'll be right back. You're not going to want to miss that.
This a little different right here. This a little different.
Ooh, real smooth.
That's smooth, ain't it?
That's real
smooth. Yeah, there we go.
This next topic ain't smooth, though.
Man, this topic is going to be something different. Welcome back, Up On Game. Coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. So we're going to get straight to this one. Touchy subject. This topic that we're going to touch on is a little different. And so we want to see how we would approach this situation. So let's get straight to it. Vanessa Bryant has denounced a lawsuit from her mother claiming she has owed years of pain for working as an unpaid assistant and support promised by Kobe. Bryant issued a statement Thursday saying her mother was trying to extort a financial windfall, and this is reported from the LA Times. So the question is, and let's try to put this in context, if we were Kobe Bryant and we passed away.
We were together when he passed.
We were. How would you want your wife to handle this? And this is the thing. It's not Kobe's mother. This is Vanessa Bryant's mother that is basically trying to extort her own daughter and say, you're going to take care of me for the rest of my life because your husband, who was my son-in-law, said this is what he would do. And now you're going against his wishes. And I want your support financially until the day that I die, even though I get alimony from my ex-husband.
Man, let's just call it what it is, man. It's flat out disgusting.
Mm.
It really is. Let's just call it what it is. Because here we are. We aren't even
We're not a year removed
from the passing of Kobe, and people are still grieving. Mm. People are still hurting from the passing of Kobe Bryant. And now here we are, Vanessa Bryant's mother claiming that if she is owed like $5 million, like $96 an hour for watching the kids for 18 years, 12 hours a day. Mm. Is this where we're at? I mean, come on, man. It's really just disgusting that the grandmother of this man's children is stooping to this level. And here we are, not even a year removed from Kobe's passing. People are still grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you do. This is how you show the love of your son-in-law.
How would you want it handled, Plex?
Me? I don't know what agreement they had between, you know, her mom and Kobe, but it shouldn't even have to resort to this. It's so distasteful to him and his family and his name that it's beyond speakable, man. It's just sickening. Mm-hmm. I get sick when I hear about it.
I'll say this. If it's my situation, I've just passed away. I it can never become about money. Like, that's your mom. That's not even my mom. You're not even beefing with my mom about this. You're beefing with your mom about this. How do you make it about money? You can't make it about money, because the moment you made it about money, you good with me, TJ.
I look at it this. I don't care if it was 2 years from his passing, three, four. You don't do this. You don't do this. They did you a complete favor. They bought you a home and let you live in it rent free. Didn't charge you a dollar. Mm-hmm. And for you to turn it, like, if this is, we can never speak again. You're my mother. We will never ever speak again. And it is what it is.
Whew, that's a tough one. And I wish we had more time to talk about it. But you know what? We did. Let's lighten it up. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods and his son. You're listening to Up on Game.